Would everyone please stand for the great Kahan Israel Hawkins?
Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. This is a great place to get out of the heat, isn't it? I mean that in more ways than one. The heat is on. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The drought, I know it's hard to see any benefit in this, but it is a great thing what Yahweh is doing here. What was my biggest concern, and I expressed this to especially among the men who are working with the animals, that our land, the land in Texas and Oklahoma, the land throughout the whole earth, in fact, it's deeply infested with parasites. And those parasites, that's the reason you couldn't find a clean sacrifice today. There's none to be had. And of course, if you knew what the scripture says about offering a blemished sacrifice, you know, you're cutting your own throat. It's like committing suicide. You just don't do that with Yahweh. But Yahweh knew it was going to be like this in these last days. And of course, we celebrate Yahshua's memorial. That's what we're actually told to do in book one, but nobody ever sees that. All they can see is killing a lamb. But what they're seeing is an excuse to stop keeping Yahweh's laws. That's what they see. What they see in the sky that you just got through hearing and seeing on film, they see an excuse not to keep Yahweh's laws because they love darkness, as your Savior said. They love darkness more than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. It's like the man that said, "Well, I don't like being checked by these scanners, so I'm going to break Yahweh's Sabbath day." Now, it's okay for him to break the Sabbath day, but it's not okay for him to be scanned. That don't break any law. "Well, I know what's right or wrong," he said. No, he's a damn fool. He don't even know what is right or wrong at all. If he did, he would be here on the Sabbath. And Yahshua calls him a damn fool. A fool because he's an idiot he can't understand. A damn fool because he's damned to burn in hell. I'm not saying it to be vulgar, but that's what the man is. He's damned already because he's chosen, as Isaiah said, he's chosen his own way. He had two opinions. He dropped one of them. They all got a few opinions, you know. So he drops one of them and chooses the one he wants. As Isaiah said, they chose their own way. Well, of course, that's what's brought all the sickness, disease, suffering, everything on the world. You can't say you don't know where the house of Yahweh is, you know. The house of Yahweh is called just that, as Yahweh said it would be called. He said it teaches laws. That's exactly what we teach. He said it would teach obedience. That's what we teach. Do you know we're the only religious organization on the face of the earth that teaches obedience to Yahweh? There is none other. Well, there's a drought on now. And it's hard to see the benefits in this. But you can't find, and I didn't mean to get off on that, you can't find a clean animal. You can't find any clean earth to raise clean food. I believe just before I was born, this took place in Oklahoma. And, of course, the drought started and the depression came. And I told you how my dad lost everything he had. Before that, he was a pretty successful farmer. He did own a Model A car. He drove back and forth to Oklahoma to see my mother. My mother and her family were living in Oklahoma close to and were friends of Dad's brother. So he drove back and forth, courting mother and them learning about, because my mother, before Dad said, before they got married, my mother was preaching to him. So she was quite a teacher, but the drought hit, as you see today, and of course we've broken that 77-year record. 77 years. The record for this was in Oklahoma. And now we've broken that here in Texas, and it looks like from the long-range weather forecast, it's going to be even worse up to as far as they can see, the 22nd of August. And I'm still praying for 126 degrees. Now, get ready, because I think we are going to have it. It got up to 120. You made it through that. Yeah, I know you'd make it through six more degrees higher. Praise the Lord. It's going to bring you a great deal of benefits. It's this drought and this record heat, it's going to bring you a great deal of benefits. It's cleaning the land. The parasites, if you remember the information that the great Kohan Benjamin brought out about the parasites and being in the animals, and then our butcher that watches for this continually, and the cattle and sheep or even the turkeys and chickens, you know. We have to watch it in everything we raise, and we're continually fighting them. But they brought out a great deal of information on this already, and if you remember it, a parasite can live on a blade of green grass for several days till its host eats the grass and swallows it, of course, and then it starts building a family in the stomach of that animal. And of course, the liver is what seems to be the thing that tries to fight it the most, but it's a losing battle because they keep multiplying, and the liver can only put out so many soldiers to fight this battle. And of course, when it puts out an overabundance, then there's nothing left. So the liver starts deteriorating, like any country when they overstretch themselves, like Hitler did in the days when Queen of Heaven was pushing him to kill me. By the way, Hitler, you know, he came into his power 26 days before I was born. Now, did Satan know something here? Apparently she did. And of course, she probably thought that I was among the Galilean priests that were still in Germany or Europe, because they tried to kill all of them out of Europe and out of Israel, what few was left there. They killed most of them in the days right after Yahshua was ascended to heaven. But anyway, Yahweh had already took my mother and daddy away in another place in a land unknown at that time. And at the time that he took us away in safety and said he was giving this woman, giving her protection so she could teach and nourish up a work. A work that was of two witnesses that had to be called from the ends of the earth, which is Oklahoma. The last land that was allotted to people was in the United States, in this Babylonious land that Zechariah spoke of. That was the ends of the earth to be allotted to people. And, of course, my brother was born in Texas, because Dad, during the process, he and Mother got married, and he brought her back to Texas. And then he lost they started having babies, of course, and had four children. And I don't know if if all of them were born in Texas, but I think they were, those four. They might not have been because mother and daddy traveled back and forth like a lot of people do today. And they were very close to my uncle, who lived in Tecumseh, Oklahoma, Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma. And, of course, that's where he was headed after he lost everything. And he had four children and a covered wagon and two mules and lost his Model A Ford. So he started traveling. It was such a coincidence, I guess, that about the day, I think, that I don't know how many days it took them to go from where they were in Texas to Oklahoma with a covered wagon, but I know about 8 to 10 miles a day is about all you can travel, and if you have trouble on the road and have to fix it, it's going to be less than that. But that's pushing a team of mules. 8 to 10, you didn't travel like you do today. You didn't get up of a morning, stick the key in the car, and take off. You got up, you fixed breakfast. That was the first thing. You took care of the animals. And then after that, you had to clean up everything, put it in the wagon, tuck it in the wagon, load up everything, get it ready to go, and then you had to harness your mules or horses, get them to the wagon, make sure all the children were in, had all their feet in, and then you could slowly start moving down the road at a turtle's pace, of course, and then and you could only travel so many hours, and then you had to let the team rest. You had to find a suitable place for them to eat. It wasn't like traveling today. Today you could go to Oklahoma in just a matter of hours in a fast automobile, but then it took several weeks. But Hitler was put into his powerful position 26 days before I was born. I think that would have probably been close to the time that Dad left Texas traveling for Oklahoma. And of course, I was born in Lexington, Oklahoma, at that time, and you know the rest of the story, but all of this is taking place in a time of a drought that lasted, that we just broke, and 77 years later, it comes again. I'll be 77 next month, the 28th of next month, so you can figure about from somewhere in this time period, Dad and Mother left Texas, going to Oklahoma to confuse Satan even more, probably. If there was anything revealed, at any time there. But I think Satan thought she had Yahweh whipped because she killed over 6 million Jews at that time. Well, she's getting desperate. I told you she's getting very desperate at this time. And that's the reason you see these appearances. I don't know if you noticed the weather yesterday, but they caught a picture of this, what they call these freak thunderstorms. And it showed the cloud forming, a fast wind. And they actually got it on film, but it was faint. It was like a ghost. And I'm sure you're probably going to see a pregnant woman in this very soon. They'll probably get clouds take different shapes. So sooner or later, they're going to get a pregnant woman, and this is going to be a sign to them to start killing again. The only thing that Satan, it seems like her only appearances is to give her soldiers the encouragement to go out and kill more people. When she appeared to Constantine, and they said it was a sign of a cross, well, the cross is a sword turned upside down. And that's exactly what he carried to kill people with, was a sword. And they went out and slaughtered in that day and time. They slaughtered, the history says that They used to think it was millions. Now they're thinking it's in the trillions of people that were killed by this group of crusaders who went out killing Yahweh's people with Satan trying to get rid of the family members that would bring forth a work in a hidden land. And then to be certain of it, then she raises up Hitler. This is not at all the sermon. I don't know why I got on this, but Yahweh's bringing it, so I'm telling you about it. But later then, Hitler was born. And if you think he was something else besides Jewish or Hebrew, you haven't read anything about Hitler. His mother and daddy both were Jews or Hebrews, but they hated the Hebrews that kept Yahweh's laws or taught Yahweh's laws. It was like Yahshua. He said they're going to hate you without a cause, like they hated him without a cause and wanted to kill him. It's in their mind. It's put in the mind by their teacher to kill those who keep the laws of Yahweh. Well, of course, when Hitler was born, he didn't know why he hated the Jews. Somebody said, well, he hated his mother, who was Jewish. Well, it could be. He had a hatred in his mind, and if his mother ever said anything about the Jewish Sabbath, as they called it, and they spit when they said it, or the name Yahweh, as they spit today when they say it, then you can see the hatred. And they don't even know why they hate, but Hitler knew that he hated people who brought forth or stood for in any way the laws of righteousness, the laws of holiness. So he set out to kill all these people, all these Hebrews that had anything to do with the laws, even though they changed religions. They said they would still go and try to find something showing that they kept the Sabbath, or they had some kind of connection like a menorah or something like that in their house that represented Yahweh's plan. They didn't eat pork. They'd find out they didn't eat pork. Well, they had them in court in just a few days. And, of course, they wouldn't listen to the testimony of the person, history said. They'd listen to the testimony of those who brought witness against them. But that's all. And, of course, they would take their children away from them. Blessed are those who give up children or father or mother, sister, brother, whatever. We have people in the house of Yahweh that their children said, you love Yahweh or the house of Yahweh more than you love us. I know of several people, and they said, yes, I do. I know that there's a lot of you in that field. There's some that don't, of course, and that's why Yahweh has to test us to see, because that's your first commandment, the greatest commandment, that you love Yahweh more than anything. And it's got to be that way, because if it wasn't, you wouldn't hold up for his laws. Praise Yahweh. Well, the people say, yes, I love Yahweh more than I do you. That's a fact. I admit it. And I'm glad of it. And one day, maybe I'll prove to you by saving your life one of these days and giving you eternal life. Those are the losers that don't love Yahweh that much, and their children will probably lose out with them because they didn't stand up for Yahweh against the children, against the whoever it was that was trying to live with them and bring them down, bring Satan into their house, keep them unclean all the time, they will lose with them because they will die in their sins. And, of course, if they're called and they die in their sins, there won't be any hope for them. They'll just be resurrected to damnation. But by saying, yes, I love Yahweh above everything, and that includes you. If you don't want to keep the laws of Yahweh, you're not welcome in my house. That's proving your love for Yahweh. Well, back to this drought now. We're in a situation here 77 years after this first drought took place. Well, why did it take place? One was to clean Oklahoma in more ways than one, because Yahweh took the people out of Oklahoma. He sent them to California, where they have such a mess going there now, it's pitiful. Starting to being trained by Hollywood. Wow, what a great start that is. The stars, the morning star, that's Satan herself. The stars of Hollywood, the gods or the goddesses of Hollywood. Why are you falling, O Satan? Well, of course, a lot of people are falling for the same way, because they didn't love Yahweh, and they're proving it. But this drought in Oklahoma, it actually cleansed the land. A parasite can't live on dead grass. They can only survive on green grass because they get moisture from that grass. The great thing about honey in killing parasites, honey, the honey that Yahweh tells you to eat along with butter, the great thing about it, how it kills, is it has the ability to suck the water out of anything, even a plate or a saucer or a tin pan. It has the ability to suck all the moisture out of a parasite, and that gets rid of your parasite. Well, so does a drought. And with the extreme temperatures that we just broke the record of now, well, why? Because we still got parasites in Texas. That's one reason. There's still irrigation. The irrigation is starting to shut down because of the thousands and thousands of dollars that it's costing to irrigate small fields. I have an article on that. First, USDA declares disaster for Oklahoma counties again. The biggest disaster, though, they're calling it a disaster. I'm calling it a wonderful event of cleansing the land that Yahweh himself is allowing. Drought withers smallest hay crop in century to boost beef cost. It says the smallest U.S. hay crop in more than a century is withering under a record Texas drought, boosting the cost of livestock feed for dairy farmers and beef producers from California to Maryland. The price of alfalfa, the most common hay variety, surged 51% in the past year, reaching a record of $186 per ton in May. That was in May. It's up somewhat higher than that now. This comes from government data. Farmers in Oklahoma and in Texas, the biggest producer of hay and cattle, may harvest only one crop from alfalfa this year, which it normally produces three crops. I used to raise it in Oklahoma and bale it, stack it in barns. Cattle that usually graze on fields through September or October are instead being sold to feedlots where they are confined in pens and eat mostly corn. We're just running out of grass, the man said. The irrigation, if I can find it, and the cost of that irrigation, maybe this one's it. Texas Ag losses could set new record amid drought. This is Lubbock, Texas. Randy McGee spent $28,000 in 1 month pumping water onto about 500 acres in West Texas before he decided to give up irrigating. Well, the parasites are still living where there's irrigation. So you can see this is about to stop because the cost of pumping the water, unless the government decides to subsidize it, it's going to stop. There's no way that they can, in fact, they will lose money. People can't buy hay if it gets too high. They can't buy corn if it gets too high. They'd be fools if they did. So what's to do with, what do? Well, you sell it for less than it cost you to produce it, which means you won't produce any more. He thought rain might come and save those 75 acres, but it didn't. And days of triple-digit heat sucked the remaining moisture from the soil, even though he was irrigating. The drought has spread over much of the southern U.S., leaving Oklahoma the driest it has been since the 1930s. The 1930s was when I was born, 1934. It started before I was born and went long after I was born. And setting a record from Louisiana to New Mexico, especially severe in Texas. Well, of course, if the drought goes long enough, then irrigation will stop and all the parasites will die at that time. That was the one thing that I was concerned about, finding a way to clean up the land, because I know that's what we're going to be doing here in the very near future, because we're going to be raising food, unadulterated food, for the people that are going to be saved alive and eat at the house of Yahweh. But Satan now, if you notice, she's making her appearances, and she's offering not a cross, but a sword turned upside down, which forms a cross, of course. But if you'll read Revelations, you will see that another great sword is given. That's in Revelation 6. A great sword is given to bring war, not peace, but war. Because Satan hopes, as we started reading, let's turn there again in Isaiah 14, because this shows some things that, especially when you get the translations correct on it, it shows some things here that the ordinary person don't see. And the fact that we know that the land is contaminated, we, the house of Yahweh, we're probably the only ones on the face of the earth that are even concerned about it. Because people think that they can, you know, take their livestock to the ox, to the veterinarian and get cures. Well, the veterinarians, they sell them some pills, of course, which also helps to deteriorate the liver more. And of course, this makes them defiled. This gives them blemishes and spots. So they can't be offered as a sacrifice. Well, that's where you stand with Yahweh. Well, of course, here in Isaiah, we see the reason, and we see the people are following Satan. Satan can't give you life, but she can deceive you. She can deceive you and cause you not to be obedient. You know, the one thing that Yahweh tells you to do is seek his house. The second thing he tells you to do is do what the judges tell you to do. And if you are obedient to the judge or to the priest, Yahweh says you're obedient to him. If you're not obedient to the judge or the priest, you are, as Yahweh said to Samuel, it's not you they're rejecting, it's me they're rejecting, as they always have all of their life. They're a stiff-necked and rebellious people. Well, why did Yahweh bring them out of Egypt? You're the only ones that know that answer, brethren. You're the only ones on the face of the earth that actually know why Yahweh brought a unrighteous, stiff-necked, rebellious people out of Egypt. Because out of that breeding, Yahweh showed that he could actually bring forth a righteous seed that would teach and practice righteousness. You're the remnant of that family, that great family. You don't have long to prove yourself to Yahweh. In fact, you're proving it now, one way or the other. I would say you need to be obedient more than ever. And ask Yahweh, help me be obedient. Give me the courage, give me the strength to be obedient, because it takes it. Satan gave up. Man, if you think about the position that this woman gave up, you can see the draw that this is putting on mankind, because the same pressures are on you. You were actually made subject to this vanity. That's the way Yahweh made you and then tells you, give it up. Get it out of your life and prove to me that you will and can. He says you can. It's possible, but you have to put forth the effort and do it. Well, I would if it wasn't my son, but my son is special to me. Well, burn in hell with him. That's fine. That's your choice. Or tell him, tell your son, you're not going to make me burn in hell, and I'm going to put you out of my house right now, and you'll never come back to me again until you repent. And later on, maybe I can help you to get in the same kingdom that I am headed for. Now, that's true love. It's not true love to go and burn with them. It's true death. And that's what every prophet tells you, every prophet and every apostle. Well, here in Isaiah now, 14 and verse 12, he says, how are you fallen? Well, we should want this. We should want to know, and Yahweh gives us this, showing you how pride can intervene in a person's life, and then a root of bitterness set in and intervene in a person's life. And you talk about bitter, you know, this woman is so bitter, she would destroy heaven and earth to get rid of mankind. And that's what she's trying to do now, this great sword that has been given to her armies throughout the earth is to get rid of you, as is shown in this chapter right here, for Satan. And the great sword, turn it upside down and give it to Constantine. Constantine was their greatest instrument in killing people who would not submit to their iniquity. Iniquity is not... it's pushing aside. Iniquity is pushing aside or allowing people to push aside the laws of Yahweh and you follow. That's iniquity. It's breaking the laws, yes. But iniquity is actually teaching against the laws. The laws of what? The laws that the priests teach in the habitation of Yahweh. Seek the habitation of Yahweh. That's the kingdom. That's the house of Yahweh. That's Yahweh's dwelling. There in front of Yahweh, you must keep my Sabbath and you must learn obedience to my law. Go to the priest there, he said, and do what the priest said. Well, Satan says, I don't want to. I'm going to raise myself up, and notice that verse 13, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend above the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars. Stars, do you get that? Stars. The stars, the morning star. You remember the information that was brought on Freemasonry. Free from the laws of Yahweh, of course. They already have eternal life. You know, they have an immortal soul, they're being told, by the Freemasonry. Well, the morning stars. The morning stars? Well, of course, they're the women following iniquity. Following iniquity, being told to seek eternal life, but at the same time, it's a double tongue. They're saying you already have eternal life. Well, why seek it if you already have it? Well, it's the stupidity of Christianity, of course. And Christianity will tell you anything but the laws of Yahweh. They cannot bring forth righteousness. It is impossible for them to teach the righteousness of Yahweh. It's impossible for them to practice it. Well, here she says, he says, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend above the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of Yahweh. Do you ever wonder what that was? I will sit in the highest place. on the holy mountain of the congregation. That's what Yahweh started in the last days. Isaiah 2:2, in the last days, I will establish my house in the chief of the nation. I will establish it in the chief of the nation. Some of the translations there read the Mount of Yahweh, in the Mount, the uplifted, as we brought out and in the footnote. I want to bring you this. I won't bring the complete thing because David's assigned to do that in, at the feast already. So, the great David Yehuda. The translation, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? This is the King James. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of Yahweh. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. The word heaven, found in verse 12, the word heaven, according to the Hebrew and Chaldees lexicon, means Yahweh. Also, Julius First says this word means Yahweh. You might circle that as I do and run a line up to the word. But that's the way I do my footnotes in the book of Yahweh. They're copied a little bit neater than that when we translate it. The second one, and this word Lucifer, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? The word Lucifer itself, according to the Hebrews Chaldees lexicon of the Old Testament, page 358, the word Lucifer, by Julius First, page 358, shows that Hebrew manuscript of Isaiah 14:12 originally had, Julius First shows this Hebrew manuscript, and he shows that it originally had the Hebrew word kakub written in this verse instead of the Masoretic Hebrew word hillel, which was translated Lucifer in many Bible translations. The Hebrew word kakub that was originally written in Isaiah 14:12, instead of the Masoretic Hebrew word hillel that appears in the Masoretic manuscript of Isaiah 14:12, is listed on page 619, volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jethro, which shows this word and its word group is feminine in gender, feminine, and means queen of the heavens, queen. You remember, is translated that in Jeremiah 44, queen of heaven. Jethro also says on the same page in the first volume of his Hebrew dictionary that this same queen of the heavens was openly worshipped by the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Well, we know that because it's shown by the prophets that she was. That's what they brought out of Egypt, if you remember. The same queen of heaven worship, Esther, Easter. That's the reason they were celebrating Easter right after they came out of Egypt. The word stars that is written in Isaiah 14:13 is translated from the Hebrew word kakabi. Page 619, volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jethro shows this word means holy malakim. Remember, this is feminine. The word set that is written in Isaiah 14:13 is translated from the Hebrew word asheb. This word is listed on page 615 of the Hebrew and Chaldees lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means, that is the word sit, this word means to sit, to be enthroned. applied to God and men. I'm reading from Jethro and Julius First. It means to set, to be enthroned, applied to God and men, to be established. The word mount that is found in this verse, Isaiah 14:13, means, according to Julius First, God's mountain. The word in the sides of the north, this word is listed on page 1203 of a Hebrew and Chaldees lexicon of the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means to the place of judgment. To the place of judgment. Got to get that. You got to put it together now. And here is the correct translation according to the absolute accepted Hebrew dictionaries of the world. How you have fallen from Yahweh. How you have separated yourself from Yahweh. Remember, this is what Cain said. You've pushed me out of your face. You've separated me from your face. Well, it's actually Cain that separated himself from the face of Yahweh. He quit keeping the Sabbath. He was pulled out into the world. He loved his children more than he loved Yahweh. He loved his uncle or his brother or his daddy or his sister, or maybe it was his wife. I knew a woman and a group of children one time that I thought my heart was actually tore out and went with them because they couldn't give up Halloween. Of all things, I said, this is so crazy. But they couldn't give up trick-or-treating. They were addicted to it. I said, you don't have to go. You don't have to go. You can stay here with me. You just can't keep these pagan holidays. Well, they decided they loved that more than Yahweh. But that was their choice. I live with it. Well, how have you fallen from Yahweh, O Queen of Heaven? Morning star. Morning star. How you who did weaken the nations are cut down to the ground. If you think about females, if you're a female messenger of Yahweh, you are a star, Yahweh's stars of Yahweh. You're the stars of Yahweh. Now that's the position you hold right now unless you cast it off. You're females. That's the position you're in right now. To be eternal, make it an eternal position. And this is speaking of her bringing you down. As chapter 14 of Isaiah shows, that she will and can if you allow her. The morning star, how you who did weaken the nations are cut down to the ground. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend above, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the righteous sister Malachim of Yahweh. That's the actual translation of this scripture right here. Above the stars, I'm going to ascend above you stars of Yahweh that Yahweh has called. I am going to pull you down. That's what she's saying. I'm going to prove that mankind is unfit to take all this power, this authority. I'm going to prove that women are unfit for this kingdom. That Yahweh is saying that he's going to put you in and give you all of this authority. How did you fall? Yeshua, he didn't say this in vain. Your teacher is Hillel. And what she tells you to do, you're going to do. Only you can break loose from her. and say, "Get behind me, Satan. I'm going to do what Yahweh tells me to do." I will establish myself as God upon God's mountain. That's his house, the house of Yahweh. In the last days, I will promote the mountain, the uplifting of the house of Yahweh. Isaiah 2, I will establish myself as God upon God's mountain, judging God's congregation. I will ascend, and if you remember the accuser, she's not doing this to save the stars of Yahweh. She's doing it to bring them down and say to the host of heaven, "You can't trust these people." Yahweh is saying, "You can trust them." Yahweh is saying, "I call heaven and earth to witness that no one is going to get into this kingdom unless they're trustworthy." Yes, praise Yahweh. I wouldn't want someone in there. If I couldn't be trusted, I wouldn't want to screw it up for you. I certainly wouldn't want to be there, because I could see the harm that I would bring if I couldn't be. But I'll guarantee you this, I'm going to make every effort that is humanly possible to be absolutely 100% obedient to Yahweh and Yahshua. Well, Satan's idea is to come above the stars and bring down. Did you notice she went to Eve? She didn't go to Adam? Did you notice that? That's in the very beginning, the separation of men and women. It wasn't allowed. Eve went to Adam. Satan didn't go to him. She says, "I'm going to be over the stars, and the stars is going to bring down mankind." Well, they brought down Adam, but they didn't bring down Yahshua. And Yahweh says that those who follow the witnesses in these last days, they're going to have Yahweh's spirit too. Praise Yahweh. "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Well, the Apostle Shaul said the same thing, and he showed the same thing in 2 Thessalonians. But this is how she's fallen. And of course, verse 14, he says, I will ascend above the heights. Verse 15, "Yet you will be brought down. You're dying. You just don't know it. You shut yourself off from life. To the sides of the pit, those who see you will stare at you," verse 16, "and they will talk about you, saying, 'Is this the one who, the adversary who shook the earth?'" That's her ideal, to shake the earth, to kill mankind. "Who made the kingdoms tremble? Is this the one who made the world like a wilderness?" Like a wilderness, she hopes to destroy heaven and earth. "Who overthrew the cities in it? Who would not let her captives go free?" Look at verse 21. "Prepare slaughter for her children because of the iniquities, pushing aside the law, because you just loved your children so much, you just loved your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters so much. No, you don't love them. The only way you could show love is that you stand in their face and say, "Yes, I love Yahweh more than you." And one day when I resurrect you, you'll see why. "But now I want you out of my face." That's exactly what Yahshua said. "Then I will say to them, 'Get away from me, you workers of iniquity.'" Why aren't you being like Yahshua right now? "Get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you, and I won't know you unless you repent. Iniquities of their fathers. Prepare slaughter for the children because of the iniquities of their fathers." They're following in the footsteps of their fathers. Well, of course, that's the world. You don't have to be that way. Verse 26 says, this is the purpose, the plan. This is Yahweh's plan that is purposed upon the whole earth. Upon the whole earth, that is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. Well, of course, the reason for this is to try you, just like the manna. Yahweh, don't fear. Yahweh has come here to try you, to test you, to see if you're fit for the kingdom of Yahweh. Look at verse 32. What will one answer the messengers of the nation? That Yahweh has founded Zion. This word Zion here, of course, is those who lift up holy hands. He has founded the ones who lift up holy hands to Yahweh. We'll get a little bit deeper into that. This word founded here, founded, remember this, it means to establish as an institution, often with provisions for future maintenance. Well, of course, that's what Yahweh has done in establishing his house, and that's what it's talking about right here. But let me get you, if I have that translation, but remember this word found here, it means talking about the foundation, Yahweh's foundation. And of course, we're based upon the foundation of the prophets and apostles. We are based, ourselves, are based upon the foundation of the prophets and apostles. You cannot, there is no way you can understand all the prophecies by the prophets. The only way you can understand is have the understanding that was given after Daniel closed the book, which comes from the apostles. That's the reason the first prophecy concerning the two witnesses and you sitting here in Yahweh's house in front of Yahweh, getting ready to eat, both spiritual food and physical. That's the reason for you being here, for Yahweh's test. Remember, these things you've got to remember. It's Yahweh's plan. It's Yahweh's plan, and that's what he says here. It's Yahweh's plan on the whole earth. Now, you have the opportunity right now to be part of that foundation. You got it? Thank you, Dave. Okay, now I can read this to you in the way it's correctly translated. What will one then answer the messengers of the nations? That Yahweh has founded Zion, and the poor of his people will take refuge in it. The word then, from the Hebrew word, Isaiah 14:32, has been added and must be removed. The word then has been added and must be removed. No Hebrew word that means then is written in any Hebrew manuscript, period. The word messengers that is written in Isaiah 14:32 is translated from the Hebrew word malakia. This word is listed on page 571 of Gesenius Hebrew and Chaldees Lexicon by Edward Robinson, which shows that the word means messengers of Yahweh. Messengers of Yahweh. The word founded that is written there, according to the Hebrew and Chaldees lexicon, to found, to establish, column, pillar, laws to be founded, established as the temple of Yahweh. He put temple, but it means, of course, house of Yahweh. Firm, sure, true. Well, of course, that's what Yahweh said by the prophets. I will establish my house. It'll take my laws. It'll bring you to perfection if you allow it, but you must choose to be allowed to be built in Yahweh's likeness and his image. That's what we're doing right now. The remnant, those who allow it, those who refuse it. If you turn to Deuteronomy 17 and read it, you will see that they will perish. They will perish. They're cutting themselves off from the face of Yahweh as Cain. And if they die in their sins, there's no more. There is no more. No more chance to repent. Now is it. Now is the time to repent and be converted so your sins can be blotted out. Your sins are still over your head. And in Yekiska says, if a person turns from Yahweh, that's the last thing, and you die, that's the last thing that's going to be recorded. And that's what you're going to be judged on. Unfit for the kingdom of Yahweh. Now is the only time. The true Aramaic, that's the firm, sure, true. The Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jethro, Volume 1, page 582, and Volume 2, page 956, and a Hebrew and Chaldees lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, page 205 and 634, also show this word means able. Able, a bill. Remember all the work that the great David Yehuda did on this? The word buffalo, the word Bill Hawkins, the miracle name that was spoken by a one-year-old boy that couldn't even speak. A one-year-old boy that never talked again for several months, but he gave me my name at the side of a covered wagon in Oklahoma, the ends of the earth. Praise Yahweh. Abel. And it was put there, but it was left out. The word Zion that is written there, according to the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jethro, Volume 1, page 824, and Volume 2, page 1267, shows this word means 613 commands, positive and prohibitive. If one does them, they are deeds of merit, righteousness. Let me show you your job quickly. We'll come right back to this. Turn to Deuteronomy and read this for yourself. Deuteronomy, first you're to seek the house. Then you're to go there and rejoice in front of Yahweh. Rejoice at what he is teaching you. Deuteronomy, page 161. Deuteronomy 17, Deuteronomy 12:5 says, seek the habitation of Yahweh. The Savior said, seek it first, the habitation of Yahweh. Chapter 17 of Deuteronomy says, go to the priest there. Go to the priest at that place is Yahweh's habitation, who are Levites, and to the judges who are in office at that time. At that time. Did you notice that? Judges in office at that time. If they're not in the house at that time, and they're proclaiming to be judges of the house of Yahweh, they're liars, and the truth is not in them. Read it for yourself. This is a law. This is Yahweh's law. It's not just a suggestion. It's a law. If you want to be part of Yahweh's family, you've got to be like him. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? If you don't agree with Yahweh, then you're not part of his house. And if you die in your sins, there will never be a chance to repent. Go to that place, to the judges. Don't make up your own mind. Go to the judges who are in office at that time. Asked their decision. Look at verse 10. You must act according to their sentence, pronounced for you at the place Yahweh chooses to place his name. He prophesies where that place is. He says, I will have no other work. I will have no other work. This is it. This is where you're like Yahweh, or you prove yourself to be like Satan. According to the law they teach you, shall you do, and according to the decision they guide you, you shall do. You must not turn aside to the right hand or to the left from the sentence they give you. The man who, or woman, the star who acts presumptuously falls right into the hand of Satan and shows contempt for the priest by not doing what the priest says, who stands to minister in front of Yahweh, your Father, or for the judge. That man, that woman, that star must be put to death. That's a law. They must be put to death. This is the reason the apostle says, have nothing more to do with them. Let Satan have her way, because they may have salvation later. Once they see that you were right, then you will be able to help them. You can't help them by agreeing and letting them bring you down in your house. Praise Yahweh. Okay, submit to him. Let me see where we were back in Isaiah 14:32. Okay, righteousness. Now, number five, the word poor that is written in Isaiah 14:32 is translated from the Hebrew word anya. That word is listed on page 800 in Gesenius Hebrew Chaldees Lexicon by Edward Robinson, which shows the word means to humble oneself before anyone. That's what Yahweh tells you to do here. Humble yourself. Remember this. Yahweh never asked your opinion. Yahweh's plan. He created it. It's his plan. He tells you what to do. That's all. He don't ask your opinion. He just tells you, if you want to be part of my family, you do this. If you don't, you're going to be like Satan, and you're going down with her. And that's an absolute fact. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Go to the Christians, and they'll tell you. Yes, they'll tell you they saw a pregnant woman in a cloud. They'll tell you they saw her in a plate of gravy. What does this have to do with salvation? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But she may appear to you. Who knows? Look in the clouds and see what you can find. But if you search the Scripture as your Savior tells you to do, you'll be obedient to the house of Yahweh, and you will be in the kingdom with me. Praise Yahweh. It means to humble oneself before anyone, to submit to him. Well, here is the true translation. What will the messengers of Yahweh answer to the nations? What will the messengers of Yahweh answer to the nations? It's not what will one answer the messengers of the nation, but what will the messengers of Yahweh answer to the nation? That Yahweh has established the house of Yahweh at Abel to be the pillar and ground of the truth, to keep all of Yahweh's laws, and his people who humble themselves to him will take refuge in it. Now, if you put that together with Colossians 4, Yahweh says, don't let anyone rob you of this reward, whether it's your brother, sister, father, mother, daughter, son, whatever, don't let them rob you of this reward. Other scripture says if they're in your house, they keep it with you. Otherwise, you partake of their sins. So get ready for it. Get ready for it, because there will be rejection, but you're the one that's on trial. Not them. They're gone right now. They may have never been called. You may have an opportunity later, after the resurrection. You may have an opportunity to call them into Yahweh's work and give them eternal life, because you'll have that power. But you won't get that power unless you're obedient. Obedient. And I don't care what any Christian preacher tells you, If you search your scriptures, if you read the scriptures, you'll see that obedience was taught by every prophet, every apostle, and the Savior himself. Complete obedience, not just partly, but complete. If you break one law, you're guilty of all, the great apostle Jacob said. Chapter 2, verse 10, if you want to write it down and read it. If you break just one of these, you're guilty of breaking the whole thing and becoming a part of Satan's rise up to bring men down. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you! I love you.